The sun's out, weather's warm, and that means a perfect chance to enjoy a bite outdoors. What you might not know is that most of the food on your plate would not be possible without pollinators, like bees. 3 out of the 4 crops we eat rely on bees to spread pollen and help them grow. That's where Bees and Thank You comes in, a local food truck business that hopes to spread the word about the role of bees in our local ecology and our diets. They're on a mission to serve grilled cheese to save the bees. You heard it, grilled cheese to save the bees. We're joined by Nick Lorenza, a Haverhill native and co-founder of Bees and Thank You. Welcome, Nick.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
So grilled cheese for bees definitely has a ring to it.
Absolutely.
Tell us about how you made the connection between grilled cheese sandwiches and bee conservation.
So it's actually a really funny story. Our co-founder, Ryan, he was working in the dining halls at Emmanuel College. And every time there was grilled cheese night, there would be a line of 100 people out the door. And, you know, we started talking. We were like, oh, this is maybe something we could do. You know, we started messing around with recipes. One day he was at his house just making a grilled cheese. He decided to put some honey on it. And at the same time, a bee flew in the window and landed on the grilled cheese. He took a cup and put it over the grilled cheese. We actually have a video of this, too. Mm. It's pretty funny. He walked over to the window and then let the bee out. And the caption was, save the bees, eat grilled cheese. And that's kind of how we got started.
So a real revelation, a message from above. You knew you had to do something.
Exactly.
And it's quite a menu. So the sandwiches are served on Texas toast with your choice of American or buffalo wing cheddar cheeses, or a vegan option with shredded non-dairy cheeses. And crucially, every sandwich comes with raw organic wildflower and clover honey, which we'll get to try later. Locally sourced from apiaries that you partner with. Sounds amazing, but how do people react to this flavor combination?
A lot of people have never tried it before or just never thought to try it before. And I'm honestly blown away by people's reaction to it. Like, we have people who come back year after year. They've been like, I've been waiting since last year to have this grilled cheese. Like, we've had people who say the grilled cheese has changed their life. It's awesome. I love people's reaction to it.
So tell me what was going through your minds when you started this food truck business. I mean, you gave us that great story about the bee on the grilled cheese sandwich, but then you came to a real social impact kind of analysis. How did you get there?
So like I was saying, Ryan, who was at Emmanuel College, he was studying about Sister Dorothy Stang, who gave her life for rainforest conservation. And at the same time, I was at UMass Boston, and I had a professor who was really into nonprofits and B corporations and how B corporations can benefit the communities in which they operate and do more than just provide value to their shareholders. And by doing so, they actually give more value to their customers. And I truly believe that going forward, people are only going to want to support businesses that do certain initiatives like we are.
Well, it almost sounds like a match made in heaven, a B corporation for a B.
Exactly. We're a true B corporation.
I like it. They should brand that on the top of their website somewhere. Also joining us today is the state's go-to authority on bees, Kim Skirm from the Mass Department of Agriculture, to help us understand more on this issue. Welcome, Kim.
Well, thank you so much for having me today. What a great group. What a fun topic.
Indeed. So this kind of work really hits on a fundamental issue we're facing and that we, or I, rarely hear about, and that's the state of bees. Kim Skirm, you're the top official in Massachusetts on bee business. For people who might not know about bees, can you share with us a little bit about their role as pollinators and why they're so important to our ecology and our food?
Yes, definitely. Bees are literally the bee's knees for the ecosystem. So the services that bees provide are unmatched. And what are we talking about when we say services? Well, we've got pollination, which is critical for our plants. And then also in that process, they also assist in soil erosion, carbon sequestration, so we have clean air, and then actually for habitat for wildlife, and in addition to as part of the food chain. So, and I'll put a few numbers to it so people can get an idea of what we're talking about. Mm. So between 75 to 95% of the world's plant populations, that's 180,000 plant species, rely on pollinators for survival and for habitat and for those pieces that I just mentioned. And you mentioned earlier about crop production. 80% of our agricultural crops that are grown in the world, that's 1,200 different plant species that are grown that we love to eat as part of our food supply, rely on pollinators. So they are extremely critical.
Yeah, and those pollinators, is it primarily bees? Are there other creatures doing this great job as well?
Yeah, so bees are, I think, probably the most charismatic of the group and what we sort of consider as the keystone for their species. But we also have a lot of other insects that are pollinating, beetles and butterflies and wasps and moths and flies. And we, of course, have other animals that are pollinating, like hummingbirds, for instance. So there's a kind of a myriad of different pollinating groups out there. But bees have sort of become the poster child for this particular group.
Okay. So bring us home to Massachusetts. These are global issues, and it's something we've been dealing with as a country for a long time. What's the state of the bee population here in Massachusetts?
Well, we've actually got a really amazing group of beekeepers that manage our honeybees here in Mass and in New England as a whole. So without those folks managing bees, we would have very low populations of honeybees because they are and need management. Every year, we're losing anywhere between 30 to 50% of our honeybee colonies through the winter, through the season. This past year, we've actually had a record overwintering success, much lower than our average. And so we're really excited about that. And that has actually been seen across the board in the nation and actually in our friends in Canada to the north. So whatever happened last year in our weather, COVID, maybe people paying more attention to their bees or getting interested in this really shifted the survival. So, but overall, bees are, of course, honeybees particularly still struggle from a variety of stressors. A lot of researchers will call them the four P's. So that includes parasites, pathogens, pesticides, and poor nutrition, which is part of habitat loss and decline in forage quality for bees.
Wow. Okay. So a lot to take in there. Nick Lorenzi, I want to get back to you. So on top of grilled cheese and honey, which sounds delicious, I understand that you're running this initiative called Seeds for Bees. What's your goal in sharing seeds with your customers?
So basically, this just gives people a way that they can help in their own backyard, in their local community, and it really piques people's interest in learning about the problem. The biggest issue we run into is people don't even know this is a problem. Your average person doesn't even know that bees are dying or that pollinators are important. So one of the biggest things we do when we go around is try to educate people. And by giving them these seed packets whenever they buy anything or just whenever they want them, anyone who comes up can come get them. We've given out over 200,000 seed packets throughout the years from just traveling around to different fairs and music festivals.
And what are folks planting?
So we have different regiments for different times of the year, and they're all native plants to New England in different parts of New England. Like, one of the biggest things we tell people is, you know, you got to stop buying the plants from Home Depot and Lowe's, and you got to get the native plants from either a local nursery, or you can do some research yourself and find the seeds online from a reputable dealer.
Okay, so the idea is help people plant these beautiful plants that the bees and the other insects that play this important pollinating role can feast on.
Yeah, we really want to get people gardening more because that will be the real solution for giving the pollinators a proper environment and food source and returning to the native plants that they were used to when they came over here.
Okay, point well taken. Kim, back to you. Along with planting these seeds, what easy steps can folks here in the Boston area and Massachusetts, what can we do to help the bee population from where we live?
Well, the thing that is the critical consider when to help bees is that you need to view your landscape, your yard, your back porch, your front porch, whatever area you have, you need to view it with a bee's eye, really a bee's eye view. And so you need to look at it from the way that they're going to see that, which is from a habitat perspective. So where can they nest? What can they eat in your yard? Where can they get sources of water? Where can they overwinter? Where can they mate? Those are the things you need to consider because they're going to view your yard, your flower pot in that way. And so it's a matter of not only planting flowers, and I totally agree. I think natives are a fantastic way to incorporate that in your area, but also viewing your landscape with that bee's eye view, from reducing the mowing of your lawn. And some people are going, are you kidding me? I'm not going to reduce the mowing of my lawn. But it's critical. Actually, a study from the UMass researchers in Springfield, Massachusetts in 2018 found that if they reduced lawn mowing to every 2 weeks, you actually had a greater bee abundance. And if you reduced it even further, every 3 weeks, guess what? We had a greater bee diversity. So the numbers of bees not only increased, but the amount of different species increased. That's something really teeny. I'm sure most folks would probably not argue if you told them to not mow their grasses often. So it might be a really easy one to do. And then my last tip is to reduce the amount of mulch that we put in our yards. And most people really love mulch in New England. It's a great way for us to help with the habitat we're creating in our yard. But if we leave some bare ground, be mindful that 90% of our bee species in Massachusetts, we have 400 different species. Wow. 90% of those are solitary. And of those, the majority of them nest in the ground, and they cannot nest if there's mulch covering those areas for them. So leave a little bare ground in your yard. That's a big one for bees. And then the last kind of key point is to make sure you can reduce as much as possible your use or reliance on pesticides. If you can incorporate an integrated pest management approach where you're using a lot of different tools in your toolbox, it's a much better way to go about managing your landscape or your yard.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll definitely keep that in mind next time I'm thinking about mowing my lawn, that it actually might not be in the best interest of our bee population for me to do it with great frequency. I know the state is also working with citizen scientists on bee preservation. How can ordinary people get involved in that?
So we actually work a lot with beekeepers, and we take a lot of data for surveys on bee health. But so beekeeper aspect, definitely check out our webpage, the MDAR apiary program. Now, for folks who may not be keeping bees, you can check out the iNaturalist website, especially if you're really keen on walking around your yard and observing what pollinators are visiting the flowers. That's a great website to be able to capture some photos and document what species are there. We really need more data about the amount and diversity of bees that are in our area. We assume we have about 400 different species, but you know, the distribution of those and if some of those are in decline is critical to be able to document that. And then for the educators that are listening, we are, I've actually partnered with the Massachusetts Ag in the Classroom group and have been offering kits for teachers to be able to put sunflowers in, plant the sunflowers with the students. And then you can actually combine that with the Great Sunflower Project, which is a national effort to document the species of bees that come to sunflowers. So really fun ways to get involved.
Yeah, wonderful work. So unfortunately, you're not here to join us for this next part, but Nick Lorenza, there's local honey on every sandwich that your company offers. And we're going to try some right now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Sorry, Kim. Tell me about this. I have a plate in the middle of the studio. Looks like there's two types of honey and some spoons. Tell me what we're looking at.
So these are the honeys that we put on the sandwiches, and these are also the honeys that we offer in our subscription service. We have a creamed honey from up in Maine right here, and then we have a liquid raw honey from the Essex County right there.
So these are both two local varieties that you can get as members of your program?
Yes, the Be Well box.
Okay. So what should I look out for? One of them looks a little more clear, and then the other ones look maybe a little more cloudy. Is that the whipped honey?
Yeah. So when you whip the honey, it basically makes the crystals more dense, which gives you a more rich and sweeter taste. So you'll definitely be able to taste the difference. I'd start with the liquid one right there.
Okay. Are you going to join me here?
Yeah.
Couple
absolutely.
Spoons liquid honey.
Yeah, after you.
It's looking pretty.
Cheers.
Pretty scrumptious. Thank you.
So yeah, you can really taste all the flowers and everything, all the secondary sources of the pollen in that one. All the honey comes straight from the hives. We don't filter it or anything.
What a gift! What a gift they have for us.
Yep.
Those bees. I'm dripping it all over my
me too.
Papers here.
Making a little.
I better
mess.
Eat it all. All right.
So yeah, move on to
that was excellent
one over here.
Okay.
So this one's from up in Maine. You'll definitely notice a much sweeter, and it almost makes your mouth tingle when it hits it.
Sweeter than the last one, huh?
Yeah.
That's kind of hard to believe. Okay. It looks creamy, like almost like dulce de leche
exactly.
we eat in South America. Let's see here. Mm. Mm. Wow.
Yeah, if you've never tried the creamed honey before, it's definently an experience.
Delectable.
Yeah, right? It's completely different.
So where can I get this stuff? How do I sign up?
So our website is bewellbox.com.
Okay.
And we partner with the local apiaries from all over New England, and then we ship the local honey directly to your door. And the same thing with the grilled cheese. All the proceeds help us to further our education and bee conservation efforts.
Well, that was just excellent, Nick. Thank you so much for coming in. That's Nick Lorenza, co-founder of Bees, and thank you. Listeners, we'll have all their information at the Radio Boston website. Thank you, Nick.
Thanks for having us.
And Kim Skirm, state apiarist at the Massachusetts Department of Agriculture. Thank you, Kim.
Thanks so much, everybody. This was a true treat.
Indeed. One more thing. Later this week on Radio Boston, we're talking veggies and lawn care with expert gardener Patrick Parent of Mahoney's Garden Center. We may have some bee-centric questions for him. We know you've got questions on everything from what to plant next to how to care for your tomato plants in a drought. Send us your questions in our texting group. If you're already a member, text us your questions today. If you're not, text the word Boston to 617-766-0382 to get started. That's the word Boston to 617-766-0382. We'll go out with a little Honeybee by blues guitarist Albert King. Mm. This is Radio Boston.